Hi there, and welcome to the COSI Talks podcast. My name is COSI Belloso. I'm a physical therapist with over 23 years experience, and my passion is working with the amputee and limb loss community. My mission with COSI Talks is to educate, inform, and empower amputees, their clinicians, family members, and caregivers. Now, along with being a physical therapist, I'm also a wife and a mother to four beautiful children, and I'm a recent breast cancer survivor. So while I'm not an amputee and I don't know what it's like to lose a limb, I do know what it means to have my world turned upside down from one day to the next and to have to go through the recovery and healing process. And I want to help you on your journey. So let's get comfortable. Be sure to grab your favorite drink and have a listen. Ooh, don't forget, please follow this podcast and leave a 5-star review and thumbs up. And if you have any questions or overly flattering comments, drop them below. Interesting, crazy month this month. We've had a lot of things going on. We had a really great show last week with College Park and Lululemon. A lot of good things that happened there. We talked about the Voyager foot. Hey guys, sorry, I know I'm running a little bit late this evening. Hello, Kim, how are you? Guys, you jump on board, give me a shout out. It has been a crazy week for this mom of four. I got kids finishing school. One kid graduating from her little eighth grade class, starting high school. We've got all sorts of fun activities going on in our household this week. Now, I'm gonna wait. Let's see who else is here. See, we got Harsh on board. Hey there. We got Jill on board. Jill, man, it's good to see you. It's good to see you. Sorry, guys, if I seem a little distracted, I'm just trying to figure out where the technical difficulties coming in with the program I've been using to do the live stream. Hey, Barbara, thank you for joining in. We've got Trent on board. Yes. And guys, it's a little disheartening this evening, and you know, with everything happening, you know, with the news in Texas. So if I seem a little bit off this evening, it's definitely weighing on my mind, you know, mother of four and just seeing all the end of year, end of school activities going on, you know, and knowing that some moms out there are not going to be enjoying that this week. So anywho, Patricia, good to see you. Chuck here with Iced Tea from Wyoming. No, it's a pleasure to be here, guys. It truly is. Tom, thank you. Yeah, I know, Tom. It's been a busy week, and we'll have a little bit of more downtime next week in my household and see. Kim just had surgery on her good leg and developed a bad infection. Hey, hola, Lisbeth. ¿Cómo estás, mama? Espero que tu paciente esté aquí hoy. Quiero conocerlo. Kim, I hope you're doing better. Can you give us a little more details on that? Are they giving you the antibiotics for that? Sorry to hear about that. Okay, guys. Sorry, a little off this evening. We were technical difficulties, and as you guys know, tech is not my strong point, so hopefully we'll be able to get that straightened out at some point. So guys, those of you who are watching me for the first time, let me introduce myself. My name is COSI Belloso, physical therapist, amputee specialist here in Tampa, Florida. I've been a PT now for a little over 19 years, and my passion is working with the limb loss community with this show and also with my private practice here in Tampa. So, hey, we got Liz on board from California. All right. So Harsh has got his hot water to suppress the virus from Richmond. I know we're starting to see some cases pop up around here as well. So we're all just like, oh boy, here we go. All right. We got Andre on board with his coffee and frog. Here we go. We got Inayat on board. Thank you for joining us this evening, Inayat. So guys, last week I was, you know, this month has been such a crazy flurry trying to get ready for last week's big show with Lululemon in College Park. And this week I got nothing. So this is where I'm going to put you guys on the spot this evening. I want you to start typing in questions into the comments section for me and give me something to talk about this evening. So we had, like I said, big show this past week. Lots of stuff going on with COSI Talks on the behind the scenes side. So I don't have any sponsored show tonight or anything specific to talk about. So basically it's open season on the physical therapist. Now is your big chance. Put in your questions about anything regarding limb loss, and I will try my best to answer. And those of you who've been watching my show for a while, you know that if I cannot find an answer, or if I don't have an answer offhand, I will go and find an answer for you. So for those of you who are new, don't be shy. So that's what I'm here for. That's what the whole purpose of this show is for. So start putting those questions in. Andre's like, namaste. I was like, yeah, I need some of that right now. We got Jason on board. Thank you for joining us, Jason. Marianne, no, I know you are not new, but I am so glad to have you here, Marianne. Always lovely to see you. We've got Andrea on board, my occupational therapist. All right. So guys, start putting those questions into the comments section. Actually, I have a question for you guys. What is going to be your favorite summer activity? How many of you are going to be trying to go to the beach or the pool this summer? I know it's already like in the 90s, in the high 90s here in Florida, and it's like really ridiculously hot and humid. People are starting to trickle out to the pools and the beaches. So I want to know from you guys, what is going to be your summer activity this month? I need to start. Come on, talk to me, guys. Talk to me. Oh, and then on an interesting note, I will say this while I'm waiting for you guys to put some stuff into the comment section for me. Hey, Clarence, glad you could join us this evening. I had a wonderful conversation yesterday with a lovely lady that I know from the community, and she's a real mover and shaker in the community. She has done so much for so many people, and she works so hard for this community. And one thing that she brought to my attention is the Spanish-speaking side of the amputee community. And the reason why we were talking about this is actually Spanish is my first language. Some people know that. Some people know that I am a fluent Spanish speaker, but it's actually my first language. And one of the things that I've wanted to do in creating this show is to also reach my Spanish speaking folks out there. I know here in Florida, we have many Spanish speaking folks. We have a lot of population that comes in. They only speak Spanish and they need the assistance. So I did want to kind of put it out there. And I said, you know, if somebody wants to ask me a question in Spanish, they are more than welcome to do so. And I'd be happy to translate the answer both to Spanish and in English. So I thought I'd just kind of start putting that out there. Just so if you know of anybody who is a Spanish speaker, somebody in your support group, somebody in your Facebook support group that could use some answers and translations on things, that we can start kind of bringing that into the show a little bit. So thought I'd put that out there. Jill says, I've been a long above the knee amputee. Now I'm shorter after the revision, and I'm so much more fatigued after 7 months of starting over with my prosthesis. Yes, Jill. And definitely that's not your imagination. It's a twofold thing. You know, A, you had surgery. So sometimes people really underestimate the effects of anesthesia, right? And how long that can kind of just stay in our system and kind of drag us down a little bit. So that's one thing that I think people really underestimate sometimes. I know, Jill, for example, I've had multiple surgeries due to the breast cancer I had. I've had multiple surgeries over the years. And even after I was clear to go back to my fitness routine and running, it would take me, you know, several months before I felt like myself again. The surgeries I had didn't affect necessarily my legs or my arms. So it's something that we underestimate. And then yes, after taking length off of a limb is going to present you with a much shorter lever arm. So that's where the mechanical advantage of being a longer amputee comes into play. Jill, it's not to say that you can't regain that endurance back, right? Certainly with an endurance program. Strengthening. That's one big thing that I notice, in the general population and also among amputees, just how much we underestimate how much strengthening plays a role and being consistent with the strengthening, right? So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, Jill, being on a strengthening program is a lifelong process. And I usually tell patients, you know, it starts to take 6 weeks of consistent muscle loading. So doing strength training 2 to 3 times a week for 6 weeks in order to see physiological changes to the muscle under a microscope, right? And it takes even longer than that for the actual individual to start feeling those changes. Okay. So Jill, yes, you're going to have to work a little bit harder because you have less of a lever arm on that limb. Okay. And you need to do the strengthening and the endurance as well. Tom says, I guess for me, it's running. Yes. And it really is something. And guys, you know, like I said, every time in my own personal experience, anytime I would have a surgery, right. And at the 6 week mark, you know, the doctor would give me the okay to go ahead and start running again. And I felt like I was running through syrup and just thinking to myself, good gravy, you know, like 6 weeks ago before surgery, I was able to do a 9 or 10 minute mile. And now I'm struggling just to get a 13 minute mile, which is to me, in my mind, I was just like, I really need to let my body heal from this. And just even taking 6 weeks off, even for someone who's in great shape, can really make an impact on that. And we sometimes don't give our bodies enough time to recuperate from some of these things, right? Let's see. My pleasure, Jill. Clarence says, I started with my mental health part of dealing with an amputee, so now I'm trying to switch to the physical part. I applaud you, Clarence. This is something I was actually having a conversation today with one of the fellow moms in my, you know, when my kids' school, you're having, you know, end of year school activities and all that stuff. So the moms and I were chatting, and one of the moms and I, we got onto the subject of mental health. And it, you know, it's Mental Health Awareness Month in May. And that's something that I find that the older I get in my profession, the more I really try to address that with my patients or with my viewers that I'm speaking with. You know, y'all have heard me say on the show, healing is spiritual, emotional, and physical, right? You've got those three things. And if those three things are not in balance, then your healing is going to be halted or it's going to regress. So with the spiritual and emotional healing, it's about finding what it is that you need. The same thing with the physical, right? We all have different needs from a physical standpoint. Some people need this kind of a prosthetist. Some people need that kind of a prosthetist. Some people need this kind of a knee or that kind of a knee or this foot or that foot. And when it comes to mental health, you know, it's finding what it is that you need. Are you someone who needs the services of a psychologist or a psychiatrist? Are you someone who needs the services of a counselor? Do you need a support group, an in-person support group where you can see and sit next to someone else and hear them? Are you someone who does better with an online support group? Are you someone who needs a certified peer visitor, a one-on-one type setting, you know, provided by the Amputee Coalition? And addressing that mental health, I think is just, you know, it's so important. You know, and I talk to my patients about this because there is still a stigma about that part. And so many of my patients and viewers have come to me in the past saying, you know, I feel like I should be snapping out of this, or I feel like I'm going crazy, or I feel like I'm not being understood. Right. And sometimes I just have to sit and tell this person, you know, you are a normal individual, reacting in a normal way to a very abnormal situation. Right? It's not normal to lose a limb. It's not normal for your body to grow cancer, right? It's not normal to have these intense surgeries, right? And recovery process, right? That's not the norm, right? So our bodies and our minds need help in getting through those times, right? Hey, we got Ray on board. I got another one of my physical therapist colleagues on board. Thanks for joining in, Ray, man. It's good to see you. Good to see you. All right, we got Daniel on board. Tom asks, thank you, Tom, guys, put your questions in there. I need something to talk about because y'all don't want me just rambling on and on about myself. So go ahead and put some questions in there for me tonight. Tom asks, what exercises do you recommend for strengthening back muscles? Ooh, I like that question. Okay, so let's get Bob. Poor Bob. Here's a really funny story. My daughter, my oldest daughter, is training to become a lifeguard, a certified lifeguard. So she was taking a CPR course and we were kind of reviewing with her here at home. So we were actually using poor Bob and he lost his arm in the process. So we were using Bob as the child size CPR doll and we were using Big Bob for the adult size CPR. So both of these Bobs have taken a beating today, including losing an arm. Anyway, sorry, Tom, get back to your question for back strengthening. When it comes to back strengthening, I look at not just the back, I look at the whole core. So let's just do a quick review on what that core means, okay? Core means your front abdominal muscles, your back muscles, your diaphragm, right? Which is that big, juicy breathing muscle that goes right here under your ribs. And then your pelvic floor, which is basically all the muscles, basically where your body meets the saddle when you sit in a horse saddle, that's your pelvic floor muscles, okay? When you're having issues with your back, usually I start to look there at the core. Let's see, you know, seeing what the alignment looks like, what the skeletal alignment looks like, looking to see which muscles are strong, which muscles are weak. Okay. When it comes to our body likes balance. Our body likes things to work together, right? So our core needs to work together. You can have a really beautiful looking six pack, right? But if your pelvic floor is weak, if your deep abdominal muscles are weak, then doesn't matter what that six pack looks like. Okay. So guys, you guys want me to share one of my exercises with you? I actually have the program up right now. So for those of you who may or may not have heard about this program, I developed a program called Cozy Talk Strong Body. It's designed with 150 exercises for above the knee and below the knee amputees. There's videos online for all of the exercises, head to toe, and then there's books. So I'm going to actually try to find one here for you guys. One of my favorite abdominal core exercises to start out with. So I'm going to try to share this screen, and I want to make sure that I'm not, make sure I can do the right thing here. Okay, here we go. All right, guys, here's the program. All right, so Tom, you are in above the knee. So I'm going to go into the above the knee section. I'm going to go to the core, and let's just go with phase one. Let's start over here. We're going to do TVA settings. This is my favorite one to start everybody with right here.
This exercise is meant to start working your transverse abdominis muscle. Now, this is a muscle that's often neglected when doing core training. It's the deepest abdominal muscle, and it runs horizontally across your body, and it acts like a corset. So to me, it's one of the most important muscles when you're trying to build a strong core. And I always like to start in the simple position of laying down. This way you can really focus on contracting that particular muscle. So here I have Robin wearing her prosthesis because, again, the more even your weight is distributed, the better you're going to be able to activate this muscle. If you're having trouble either keeping your prosthesis on because you're losing suction, or if you just feel more comfortable with it off, you can go ahead and put some pillows underneath and just have your limbs at the same angle, approximately same angle. So for this exercise, here's Robin's belly button. You're going to visualize pushing your belly button down and up towards your head. So you're going to use your muscles to push down and then up towards the head. Go ahead. And it's a very slight contraction. It's really not a huge movement that you're going to see. And then relax. If you're having trouble kind of activating this movement, you can have someone, I'm going to slip my fingers underneath your back. There. You can have someone put their fingers directly underneath your back and just kind of give you a little tickle. So I'm tickling the back of her back, and I'm going to have her push her belly button into my fingers to kind of squash my fingers. There you go. You can see the movement going down, and then relax the contraction. Okay. Push down with your belly button as if you're squashing the fingers. And right now I'm just giving her a little bit of a tickle in the back of her back, and then relax the contraction. Push down, hold for a count of five, and then relax the contraction. So it's a very subtle contraction, folks. Once you feel like you're confident in that, then I want you to add something else to it. I want you to start counting out loud. This is to make sure that you're not holding your breath. So I'm gonna have Robin do it this time. She's gonna do the contraction and then count out loud.
One, two, three, four, five.
And then release the contraction. Okay. Another way you can tell if you're activating this muscle properly is to put your fingers on the inside of your hips just gently. And as you do that contraction, you should feel just a gentle tightening underneath your fingers. It's a tricky exercise to do, folks, but once you can start learning how to contract this muscle, you're going to get a lot in your core stability. Okay. Go ahead and give it a try.
All right, guys, did that go through? I never know sometimes when I'm doing these, the sharing screen and stuff like that, I never know if it's going through or not. Okay, sorry, I'm catching up with this. Ooh, a lot of comments came in. We got Steven here from Jacksonville on the Cozy Talk Show. Hey, compadre, thank you so much, man, for being on board. Comadre, love you, man. Thank you for being here. We got Chuck here, Steven. Like, I have all my Stevens on board. Steven from Michigan, Steven from Jacksonville. We got Roger on board. Excellent, guys. Okay, so you guys can see it. Awesome. It went through? Yes. Okay, good. So, guys, I do that exercise pretty much with everyone. And what I love about this, and when it comes to doing exercises, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent. When it comes to doing back exercises, right, this is where your physical therapist really comes into play to figure out where is the pain coming from? Because usually that's what triggers people to say, I need back exercises. I'm having pain, right? So finding out where that pain is coming from is going to help determine what kind of exercises you need to do, right? So for example, one lady that I had come in, it turns out she had lumbar fractures, right? She was osteoporotic and she had fractures in her lumbar vertebrae. So when she's coming in and talking to me about back pain, right? And I know that she's got a history of fractures that have just been healed and she's just been cleared by her doctor to continue and resume exercises. Those are going to be a different set of exercises than someone who does not have a fractured vertebrae. Okay. So again, this is something that you don't just want to start throwing exercises out there willy-nilly and just start doing them. You want to figure out what is the problem? Where is the problem coming from? But in this case, this particular exercise that I just showed you right now, that's probably the one exception to the rule. That's pretty much an exercise that you can give everybody, including my lady who had the lumbar fracture, because you're keeping the spine in a nice neutral position. You're not doing a whole lot of movement. And you're just doing a corset muscle, that one gets neglected a lot, myself included, right? We tend to work on our rectus abdominis, which is the six pack. We'll tend to work on our obliques, our internal and external obliques. And that deep, deep transverse muscle oftentimes gets passed over. And it's the most important one of all of our abdominal muscles. So good question, Tom. Good question there. And then guys, what I also love about that particular exercise is as you get stronger, as you're able to control that transverse abdominis a little bit better, it's very easy to add on different movements to that exercise to challenge you more. And the goal with that is when you're doing your daily activities, when you're moving around, when you're lifting a box, when you're bending over, when you're standing back up again, your body knows to activate that transverse abdominis and it becomes an automatic thing, right? All right, let's see what else we got here. Hey, we got Carolyn from Crawfordville, Florida. I've never heard of Crawfordville. That's a cool name. I like that. Let's see. Bill says, I've had the Echelon VT for about 3 weeks. What a difference it's made on my back when walking. Yes, the Echelon is a fantastic. It's a Blatchford, I believe. Blatchford makes that foot. And I believe it's a hydraulic foot, if I'm not mistaken. I've got some mom brain tonight. So I believe it's a hydraulic foot and it's wonderful because you get that really nice connection with the floor. You tend to take some of the stress off the sound leg with these hydraulic feet. So it gives you a bit of more even gait pattern. So yeah, if you were having back problems before, that could be why, because you're more connected with the ground. You're taking the stress off the sound leg and evening the weight between the two. So just that alone, guys. And it's interesting. It's interesting when someone comes into my clinic and they have back pain, which, you know, it's very high percentage of amputees who have back pain. I'll do a traditional back evaluation, right? I'll see if there's anything obvious going on. Do we have any muscle imbalances? Do we have any skeletal misalignment somewhere? Do we have tightness, right? Hip flexor tightness. That's a big old culprit right there with my amputees and back pain. But then I also go and look at glute strength. Right? As my dear friend Lynette would say, you look at the joint above and the joint below. So I'll start looking at the hips. What are the hips looking like? What's the strength around the hips looking like? Right? And inevitably, a lot of times there's weakness in the sound leg and also in the hips and in the residual limb that will contribute, right, to this back pain. So a lot of times working on gait mechanics, right, and polishing that gait will also help with the back pain. So it's kind of cool. It's part of the cool part about being a physical therapist is just kind of figuring out that puzzle and see where it's coming from. All right, let me just look through here. All right. So guys, I do want to add for the month of May, I think it's there's so many things going on this month. There's Mental Health Awareness Month, there's Mobility Month, and I don't know what other things going on. So anyways, I am running a special on my COSI Talk Strong Body program. Guys, I have never run a special on my program, and this is probably going to be the only time I do this. So for those of you who purchase a year-long subscription, you pay the year-long subscription up front, I will be sending you a free book. Okay, so let me just show you. A few of you have already jumped on that this month, and I've already sent out some of your books, okay? So this book has all of the exercises that are also online. So the book matches the online videos, okay? So for those of you who buy an online video subscription for the year, right, I will send you the book for free. The book costs $50, guys. So that's a free $50 book that I will send you. Some of you, I've sent you the code. So go ahead and use those to get your free book. So I'm kind of excited about that. Several of you have already signed up, and I'm really, really, really excited. All right, let's see. Let's see. Kim says, I had surgery on the 9th to save my good leg. Yesterday had to have surgery to clean out the infection. The wound was so infected, it split open the stitches and left a 3-inch opening in my incision. I'm sorry, Kim. I really hope things get better there. Let's see. Tom says, I pulled my back last week lifting something. I guess I have to do something strengthening and stretching. So yes. And Tom, actually this particular exercise, the one that I just showed you, it's also a really nice exercise to kind of calm down the back. We all get those pulls and strains sometimes where we overdo it. So sometimes if I'm experiencing that myself, I'll just lie flat on the bed, put the feet up, and just start activating that transverse abdominis. And it just kind of helps also kind of relax the spine just a little bit and put it into a neutral position, right? And just kind of helps with those muscles that might be spasming there as well. Let's see. There was another question here I'm trying to get to that I thought I missed. No, Brett, there is a show tonight. I do apologize for being late this evening. It was a lot of technical difficulties with this program I'm trying to figure out, but it didn't quite work this evening. So we're just going to have to keep trying. Let's see. Marianne asks, how do I address the fact that my longer above the knee amputated limb gets so much more tired than my shorter residual limb? So Marianne, this also kind of ties into what Jill was saying, that she was noticing that her limb gets more tired now that she had the revision and she's missing a few more inches on that. So Marianne, there's always going to be a stronger side and a weaker side, right? So for someone who has one amputation, typically the sound leg is the stronger side. In your case, your longer limb is going to be the stronger side, which means it's the one taking more of the abuse and more of the stress. So the way to take the stress off is to strengthen the weaker side. And in your case, it happens to be your shorter residual limb. It can be challenging. I'm thinking of a case that I had, and I was discussing this with Liz yesterday, a case I had early in my career where the gentleman was a bilateral above the knee, and his one side was incredibly short. He had a very, very, very short stump, and it made it challenging to figure out a way on how to strengthen it. And the prosthetist and I had to really think outside the box to figure out how we could continue to challenge the shorter residual side to strengthen it, to make sure we didn't abuse the stronger side. So Marianne, I know you're working with a physical therapist. So again, explain this and let your physical therapist know that your sound side is getting so much more tired that you need to start focusing a little bit more on strengthening that residual side. And in your case, Marianne, really strengthening those glutes, really strengthening the glutes. Okay, let's see. So Chuck asks, how long do the muscle spasms last after an above the knee revision? Had the revision on the 12th. So that would have been approximately 2 weeks ago. So everybody's a little bit different, Chuck. If you've had surgery, right, our body's reaction to trauma is an inflammatory response. It'll set off inflammation, right? And when we set off inflammation, everything goes a little bit haywire. The inflammation and the fluid can push in on those muscles and everything gets really squeezed and tight and things might start to spasm, right? So when it comes to the healing process and surgery, our body processes surgery as trauma. It doesn't differentiate between trauma of getting into a car accident versus the trauma of surgery of trying to fix that, right? So your body just says, ah, trauma happening, send out the inflammatory response and everything goes cuckoo, right? So the best way to, you know, work through the inflammatory process is with movement, right? This is where the physical therapist, woohoo, we get to really shine a little bit. So with movement and activating those muscles, right, and starting to get the strengthening process going, you're helping pump that inflammation and that fluid out of that area that's been traumatized, right? So as a result, the inflammation starts to go down and so does the pain. So that's a nice little side effect there, right? But in the event of actually, you know, so the healing process is kind of a little bit of an up and down, up and down, up and down. So you pump some of the fluid out of there, but then the muscle gets a little bit fatigued and some of the inflammation starts again, right? So you'll go through inflammation and resolution, inflammation and resolution. And over the course of time, it will slowly start to improve. So I would say 2 weeks after a revision, Chuck, you're still in that acute process, right? You're still in that process of managing that inflammation and trying to get that inflammation out of there. Okay. So a couple of things to think about, Chuck. If you are doing exercises, right, it would be a good idea to talk to your therapist and say, am I working too much? Right? If we're stressing the muscle out too much with too much aggressive exercise, we're going to set off spasms and we're actually going to impede the progress, right? Or it could be the opposite, that perhaps you need to kind of ramp it up just a little bit with those exercises and get those muscles moving and get them a little bit stronger. So Chuck, I'd be curious to know, are you working with a physical therapist in this case? Are they guiding you through some of these exercises, right? All right, let's see. And actually, you know what, Chuck, not that I'm trying to like, really get into this, but there's another really good exercise that if you guys want, I'll show you one more exercise. Is that okay? I'll show you my favorite exercise to do with patients right after surgery. And this is something to specifically start helping with the inflammatory process. So let me go ahead, if you guys don't mind, I am gonna go ahead and share my screen one more time and show you that exercise. Let's see, we'll go to the below the knee because you can see it really well here. Phase one, legs. Here we go. Actually, we'll do it without the prosthesis so that you guys can see what's going on. Okay, here we go.
These exercises are called the quad sets, and they're some of my favorite exercises to do when folks are starting to get their strength back. Quads are the top part of your thigh, and whenever you have any kind of surgery, these muscles tend to get really swollen and inflamed, causing a lot of pain. So this exercise is not only good for exercising and getting things strong, but also for helping to push out that inflammation. So here's how I like to try. I usually like to start out with the sound leg first. I'm going to put my fingers underneath Damon's knee, and I'm going to tell him, push down into my fingers. Go ahead, push down. And as you can see, he's tightening up his quad muscle really nicely. And then relax the muscle. Okay, tighten it up. Hold it for a count of 5, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then slowly release the contraction. Once you feel like you've got a good grip of it here, we're going to go ahead and do it on this side. I always like to do the exercises with and without the prosthesis. Okay? So once again, he's going to push down his knee and tighten up his quad muscle. Okay? That's fine. Yep, let's move forward. All right, so you can see that nice quad tightening up. All right, so he's going to push down and tighten up that muscle and hold it for a count of 5. And then relax the contraction. Push down, contract and hold. And then relax. And as you can see, as the trembling, it's really working that quad muscle. What I like about this exercise is not just about how strong your contraction is, but also how you can control the muscle as it's contracting. All right, go do your repetition.
All right, there we go. So guys, what's interesting is with that quad set muscle exercise, so the model there is Damon, right? And you can see he's a pretty in good shape, right? And he walks around with his prosthesis very well. But when we were doing this particular exercise and we were doing the filming, you could see his quad muscle was kind of trembling there. And I was just like, Damon, what's going on? And it turns out he never received physical therapy after his initial accident, right? And when a lot of people tell, you know, they say, well, you know, I never had therapy and I started walking without, you know, with a prosthesis and I never had therapy and everything's fine and dandy. And I said, well, this is a kind of an example of what happens when you don't have that muscle rebuilding phase after surgery during that rehabilitation process, right? That those muscle fibers just don't decide they want to come back. Your body only recruits a certain number of muscle fibers. And you can see that with Damon there, that years later, he still has that atrophy in the quad muscle because it was never rehabilitated right after his injury. The good news is that you can get it back. And I've actually been working with Damon. We've done some videos on getting him back to running and getting him strong again. But the quad is where we had to really start right there. So that's an exercise that can be used right after surgery and also years later, okay? So that's another one of my favorite catch-all ones that can be applied to many, many different folks. Okay. Steven says, I'm on above knee from a trauma accident and the doctor removed muscles that were dead, which has caused a fleshy limb. And it's caused me to getting a hard fit with a prosthesis. Yes. And that's definitely something I've seen. I see that a lot also in my below the knee, patients, where they have a lot of fleshy, flesh on the bottom part, which can make for a challenging fit. And again, this is where the skill of the prosthetist really comes into play. And Steven, I don't know if you were here for the show we did with Ronnie Dixon not too long ago. We were talking about liners and how to fit liners. And he was making a point of saying, you know, when he had, and he showed us a picture of somebody who had a lot of soft tissue at the end of that residual limb, about how he has to position that soft tissue in a certain way when he's fitting a liner to make sure that everything gets compressed and put into place. And this is something that it could cause a challenge with fitting a prosthesis, Stephen. And again, this is something that going back to your prosthetist and having that communication and line of communication open, that it can take time to get that right fit, Stephen. So Stephen, I'd be curious to ask, you know, how is your prosthetist helping you troubleshoot this? You know, what are they working on right now? So if you don't mind putting that into the comments section. Hey, David, thank you for joining in. Which exercise will increase the hardness of the limb? So a lot of times, guys, with you know, it's several exercises, Stephen. Okay, so in the, where'd Bob go? Poor Bob, he's like, I've had enough between your daughter doing CPR and the show. I've had enough today. So, you know, you have, you know, the different phases of the groups. You have the muscle groups here, which are their quads. You have your hamstrings behind your thigh. You have your abductors, and then you have your adductors, your inner thigh muscles. So when it comes to strengthening the residual limb, Stephen, you have to address all of those muscle groups together. It's not just one particular muscle group that's going to make the residual limb hard and tough and strong. And then in addition to that, again, you have to look above and below. So if you're an above the knee amputee, you don't have anything going on below, but the glute muscles, right? The glute muscles have to work that much harder to help compensate for the missing muscles in the lower leg and all that power that you would have normally been getting in the lower leg. Okay. So it's really about working all of the muscle groups and teaching them how to work together as well. Yeah. Thank you, Leanne. I appreciate you joining in. All right. I'm just going to kind of look through, make sure I'm not missing any questions here. Guys, go ahead and put those questions in there. All right, sorry. So Steven says they're trying different cuts of the trim line on the sock and been going to POA for 3 months. And again, that's an excellent clinic, Steven. I know I've had several patients from there. They have excellent clinicians there. And again, this could take time. And one thing that just comes to mind right now, I don't know if you guys follow Amy Purdy. She was a Paralympian, snowboarder, champion, a silver medalist. She's one of our amputee celebrities, and she's a bilateral below the knee amputee. And for the past, I think it's been 2 years now, she had to undergo many surgeries on one of her limbs due to problems with the arteries. And now she's in the process of being refit for the prosthesis after 2 years. And she has an excellent prosthetist. And you see her on her Instagram. I follow her on Instagram. And at least 2 times a week, she is posting on how she's having to go back in again and again and again and again and again and again to go see her prosthetist to try to get that fit right. And it's, you can see her frustration sometimes with that. And unfortunately, that's a very normal thing to happen. It's unfortunate that that's the case, but it's a very normal thing sometimes to have to go in numerous times before you get that fit. I really admire her because she's saying, you know, I'm not giving up no matter how many times I have to go in. You know, in her case, she, prior to having all these surgeries again, she knew what it felt like to have a well-fitting socket, you know, sockets. You know, she was a Paralympic snowboarder, so she really knew what it felt like to have comfortable sockets and to be active in those sockets. And she's not going to settle for anything less. So I admire her grit and her determination. And I'm just like, yes, keep going, keep trying to get that fit. But yes, even I know that can be incredibly frustrating to keep going in, but it's something that if you're in a good clinic and you're with a prosthetist that is willing to keep going back and helping you troubleshoot and help coming up with different ways to try to get that fit, don't give up. That's the best advice I can give you right now is don't give up. Let's see. Jenny says, I have fungal osteomyelitis and have been dealing with many surgeries and infections for 5 years. My right above the knee surgery is June 6th. Are there exercises I could do prior to my surgery and anything else I should know? So Jenny, yes. It used to be once upon a time that the protocol was that as physical therapists, we would work with patients before surgery. It was kind of a long time ago. When I was in high school and volunteering in physical therapy clinics, I remember seeing a lot of the young athletes who had ACL tears. They would come in prior to surgery to get strong and then come in after surgery. Same thing with hip replacement patients, knee replacement patients, that they would undergo weeks-long strengthening prior to going into surgery. And it just made for better outcomes overall. And unfortunately, with our insurance system and healthcare system, that has gone the way of the dodo bird. But it's not to say that it's not warranted. Now, granted, June 6th is coming up kind of quickly, Jenny. So my advice to you would be make a connection with your physical therapist. So call the surgeon who is going to be doing your amputation, ask them who is the physical therapist that's going to be working with you. Now on the floors, when you're in the hospital, you may not know who's the physical therapist that's going to be on call that day working with you. But for example, once you move to the outpatient setting, you will need to continue to receive physical therapy services, right? So if you can even make an appointment to meet that physical therapist, I think that would be very, very helpful because they can start answering questions for you. They can start getting to know you. Guys, I love it when my patients come and see me and talk to me and call me long before. You know, some patients will call me and they'll say, I'm working on getting to you. It might be a little bit of a month or so before I can get to you, but I just wanted to introduce myself. And I love it. I love getting to know my patients before they step foot into my clinic. And it helps me as a clinician help them that much better. So Jenny, if you can do that and start doing, you know, figuring out who's going to be your outpatient physical therapist and start establishing that relationship. And the other side to that is the prosthetist, right? So oftentimes when people are in a hospital, they might receive a visit from a prosthetist. Like the surgeon might say, hey, I've got a patient here, go see my patient. And it could be that that prosthetist is a great fit for you. You guys click and it's going to be a good fit. Or it could be that, you know, you're just like, well, I want to look around. So it's not to say that you can't start that process now, that you can start looking around your area to see who the prosthetists are, start reading the reviews on the prosthetists. If you're able to talk to other amputees in your area and ask them about their prosthetists and their thoughts, and just start getting to know who's going to be your support staff that can answer a lot of these questions for you. Okay, Jenny, and advocate for yourself. That's a big thing for me. I'm like, advocate for yourself. So advocating for yourself at this stage is going to be making sure that that surgeon orders physical and occupational therapy for you, making sure that you have therapy services set up when you go home, whether it's because you're going to inpatient rehab or whether you're receiving home health services, but making sure you have that continuity of rehabilitation from the minute you come out of that OR until you're reaching your goals with your prosthesis. Yeah, I hope I didn't overwhelm you with that. But Jenny, that's what this show is for. You can contact me at my email, and I'm going to put it down right now. Okay. So guys, and this goes for any of you guys know that you can contact me and send me your questions through email. And I am always the one, I'm the one who answers all the emails. So there we go. But keep us posted, Jenny, and best of luck to you. David Long says, I am a bilateral above the knee amputee as of September 22. Right leg fits great. Left is refit 2 times. Concerned of hip flexors. And yes, for, you know, all of my amputees, but especially the higher up you go in the amputation and for the bilaterals, the hip flexors can become a very big problem. And that's, again, one of those things that you have to just constantly work on. So there's a couple of different ways that you can do stretches on those hip flexors. But again, this is something that I'm cautious about. When I have someone who says they have hip flexor tightness, I always like to say, okay, you need to have someone kind of lay eyes on you. If this is a fixed contracture, meaning that those hip flexors are stuck, then you need to be very careful because you cannot be too aggressive with it, right? Because then you can start causing problems down the line with back problems, okay? If it's just a mild tightness, then you can do different positioning to help with those hip flexors. But that's definitely one of those that I would encourage you, David, to make an appointment with a physical therapist, have them eyeball you and see, okay, how much tightness do you have going on and what is a good position for you to be able to stretch them out. Some people can lie on their bellies and stretch out their hip flexors that way. But a lot of people I find, because they have either, you know, a bit more going on in their belly in their midsection, or they are just uncomfortable with their back, they can't tolerate lying on their belly. So they have to do a different positioning for that. Let's see. Doug asks, I'm getting some skin issues on my residual limb. Should I see my prosthetist first or a doctor? Which doc? It's been several months since my BK. Should I see my surgeon or my family physician? Okay. Great question, Doug. So typically skin problems are something that happens a lot with prosthesis. And a lot of it has to do with just the fact that if you're wearing a prosthesis, I kind of tell people it's kind of like wearing a garbage bag over your leg all day long. You know, you're going to sweat. There's going to be bacteria. There's going to be odor. There's going to be problems going on, right? And if you're diabetic and your skin is not in great shape, then those problems can kind of sometimes spiral out of control if we're not careful, okay? So the first thing to do, Doug, is to identify, you know, what is it that's going on, okay? If you're having a wound that's opening, okay, you definitely want to make an appointment to go see your doctor. If you have a rash that's come up and you're just like, you know, and sometimes my patients will come to me, they'll say, you know, I have this rash here. And I'll say, you know what? That looks like a little bit of a heat rash. We can take care of it doing some very simple, simple methods there. If it's a fungal infection, for me, I always like to send them back to the doctor to have them prescribe something for that, or possibly bacterial infection. Okay. So Doug, if it's one of those things that your prosthetist can tell you what it is, great. But if you have any doubts about that, Doug, I would definitely say go back to your doctor. If you can go back, if it's a wound that's related to your surgical wound, right, I would say go back to your surgeon. But even your primary care doctor should be able to address this problem, okay? And also they can refer you to, you know, depending on the severity of what's going on, if it's a skin rash or something like that, you might be going to see the dermatologist. And that's another really great person to go check out, right? Because the dermatologist can really prescribe and really diagnose a whole wide range of issues going on with your skin. Okay, but Doug, in the case, especially since you're a newer amputee and you're still kind of getting used to your body, your new body at this point, I would say go ahead and make an appointment with the doctor and just have them eyeball it and see what's going on, right? Susan says, I mixed my days up. That's all right, Susan, happens to me all the time. Oh, okay. Leanne, thank you. So Leanne says, thank you for running your special on the year membership with the book. I'm grateful to be included in the sign up. Yes. And I'm sure I may not be the only one that needs a reminder of the descriptions of phases 1, 2, and 3 in our profile of our membership. So thank you for asking. Let me go ahead. So guys, let me just show you how the online program and the book are designed. So if you have the book, right, you're going to see that it's divided into arms, legs, and then we've got lots of legs. We've got a lot of legs. Core. We have a balance section. And then we have at the very end, but not just as important, flexibility. And that's how the videos are also put together online. Arms, legs, core, balance, and flexibility. Now, within each section, so within the arm section, you're going to see phase 1, phase 2, and phase 3 exercises. And the same thing goes for legs. You have legs, phase 1, phase 2, phase 3. Core, phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, right? And same thing with the balance. Flexibility is just one phase. There's no different phases. So basically the way I designed it is for beginner, intermediate, and advanced. I didn't want it, when I made the program, I didn't want to get things too complicated, but I did want to offer a little bit of differentiation, okay? The way the program was designed is for you to customize it for your needs. So I'm going to use it as an example because I use this program for my own run training. I'm not an amputee myself, but I use all the program for my run. So for me, I'm actually a phase arms. I have very weak upper body. So I'm a phase 1 with my arms. I'm a phase 2 with my core exercises, but I'm a phase 3 with my balance and my leg strength. Okay, and that's how I kind of piece things together. If you're starting the program out for the first time and you really have no idea where to start, okay, start with phase 1 across the board. And a lot of people might be like, well, that's kind of really beginner exercises. And a lot of these exercises look too easy. But when you start doing these exercises in phase 1, you might realize that you are missing strength in some of these areas, or you're missing balance exercises, right? I've had folks like Damon, the model that I just showed you there, that even though I'm working with him on running, he's still doing some of his phase 1 strengthening exercises for his legs to kind of fill in the gaps of the areas that he's missing. So if you're really like, well, where do I start? Start with phase one. And if you read the directions in the book, I've got a lot of information in the book. And I also have a lot of information within the program itself on how to progress yourself through. Okay. Hope that helped out a little bit. Susan says, I just switched my prosthetis. Well, hopefully that one will work out. Okay. And there we go. You're welcome, guys. All right, guys. So I'm going to go ahead and sign off for this evening. It's been a very busy week, and I'm looking forward to having a little bit more downtime next week, and we'll have a little bit more prepared for next week's show. Just as a reminder, guys, through May 31st, so you guys have one more week to take advantage of the Cozy Talk Strong Body Special. If you purchase the annual subscription up front, I will send you the book for free. Okay. And the way that works is once you purchase the annual subscription, you'll receive an email from my team with a code to get the book for free. Okay, guys. So for those of you who are thinking about it, check it out. I'm going to put out the website right here. I should probably do that, right? If I'm recommending this to you guys. All right, guys. So there it is, a strong body program. Check it out. And then please feel free to share it out. All right, guys, with that, I'm going to go ahead and sign off for this evening. As always, thank you for letting me be a part of your lives this evening, guys. And I will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. God bless. Bye, guys.